The classic holiday movie, It's a Wonderful Life, tells us the story of a man named
George Bailey.
George Bailey, whose life does not feel wonderful. Wah, wah. He's suffering from something many of us underestimate.
Is he sick?
No, worse. He's discouraged.
He sees other people getting what he wants, while his own efforts bring nothing but failure.
I said I wish I'd never been born.
Luckily, and this is a spoiler alert, George has something truly wonderful on his side. His friends. Through their prayers and faith, an angel named Clarence comes to George's aid and opens his eyes to some spiritual truths that completely change his perspective. Ending with an iconic note that says, "Dear George, remember, no man is a failure who has friends." This movie was made in 1946, but it still strikes a chord in the heart of anyone who has known the dark pit of discouragement. We might not be George Bailey in Bedford Falls during the Great Depression, but we know what it's like to be stuck, to be low, and to be powerless to pull ourselves back up. Jesus came to earth for moments like this. Luke 4:18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, the Anointed One, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel, to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity." What mattered most to Jesus, his goal in life, was helping people, not getting success or status for himself. We know from passages like Hebrews 12 that the joy he got from loving people overpowered any discouragement or pain he may have felt. Like Jesus, we can choose what's most important to us. When our goal is loving people, we don't have to worry about success or failure in life. But when we spend our lives striving for attention, status, or achievements, we will fail to experience the wonderful life God wants us to enjoy. In today's story, we meet two groups of people who faced a potentially discouraging situation in very different ways, and as a result, experienced two very different outcomes. Let's jump in. Luke 5, verse 17 to 22. One day, while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Some men came, carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and took off some tiles. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, "Young man, your sins are forgiven." But the Pharisees and teachers of religious law said to themselves, "Who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts?" Oh, the Pharisees. If you've read much of the Bible, you've come across them before. The Pharisees and teachers of the law were people who followed religious rules down to the letter.
That's right.
We see two key things about the group of Pharisees and teachers of religious law in this story. Number one, they were sitting. Not carrying anyone who needed faith and healing to Jesus.
What?
Not coming close to him themselves to listen and learn. Just sitting. Number two, they were silent. They may have been in a group, but they handled their thoughts and questions alone. It would be easy to write these men off as the villains of the story, but take a minute to put yourself in their shoes. You know the scriptures better than anybody, and you've spent tireless years perfecting your behavior to uphold them. And then this guy Jesus shows up, and he's free from all the rule following and stress in your life. Yet he has spiritual power you don't have. He works miracles, and people are drawn to listen to him. Do you feel frustrated?
No.
Confused? Huh? Maybe jealous, seeing him get the things you've tried hard to get for years?
Come on.
Do you feel like everything you know about God and yourself your whole identity is being questioned? Underneath your anger, do you maybe feel a little like our friend George Bailey? Like all your hard work is turning out to be nothing like you hoped? Jesus can hear the questions and doubts swirling through your mind as you stew in silence. He even speaks to you directly, giving you the opportunity to open your heart, come close to Him, and let Him teach you something that will strengthen your relationship with God. But you don't. You can't admit in front of a crowd that you don't know everything. Or even worse, that Jesus knows better than you do.
No way!
What a failure it would be for the most educated and experienced scholars to admit confusion, doubt, and powerlessness. So you go home that day, unchanged. Your questions unanswered, your doubts unaddressed, and you, yourself, alone. Let's finish our story and learn what happened to the other key people in it, the group of friends who lowered a man through the ceiling to Jesus. Luke 5, 23 to 26. Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, "We have seen amazing things today." While the Pharisees were sitting, thinking, critiquing, and watching, somewhere in the back of the crowd were a few guys hard at work. Let's put ourselves in their shoes now. How would you feel showing up for the miracle you hoped for, only to find a crowd you can't get through? Every attempt to get through the crowd fails. The muscles in your arms are starting to feel like jelly, and sweat is dripping down your forehead. People are knocking into you on all sides, and it certainly would be easiest to turn around, to try again tomorrow, to just accept your friend's fate. But when you look at your friend, you know you can't go home. You have seen how hard this paralysis has been for him, and you deeply believe that as soon as you get near Jesus, he will see your suffering friend the same way you do, and he will help. So you keep searching, determined to find a way to Jesus, and that's when you see it. A small staircase leading up to an empty roof above Jesus' head. It'd be crazy. It'd be hard. It'll probably make some people mad. But when you think of your friend being healed and whole again, none of that matters. So you and your friends get moving. You climb and dig. As a hole starts to open, all heads turn, including Jesus's. While others are looking at the broken roof, Jesus is looking right at you, with a smile that seems to say, "I know a faithful friend when I see one." Not only does he heal your friend physically, but he heals his spiritual needs too. Exhilarated, you and your friends head home with joy and faith pumping through your veins, leaving the Pharisees and religious teachers silently sitting behind you. As we close out this story, take a minute to think about what matters most to you. Is it your appearance, your performance, or your status in the eyes of people around you, like these Pharisees?
That's right.
Or is it loving the people in your life and finding ways to pick them up when they're down, like Jesus and this faithful group of friends? When discouragement overtakes us, the solution is not always to fix our circumstances, but to turn to the relationships around us. Even with their seemingly successful lives, the Pharisees and religious teachers failed to get joy and hope from being around Jesus because they kept themselves at a distance from him and even one another.
What?
The paralyzed man and his friends, on the other hand, may have been in a seemingly impossible situation, but they all experienced victory because of the faithful friendship they had built with one another. In the words of the angel Clarence, "No man is a failure who has friends." That wraps up the podcast for today. If you like what you heard, make sure to subscribe and leave us a nice review. Have any questions or stories you want to hear? Drop us a line at podcast@deepspirituality.com. This Mini Quiet Time is a Deep Spirituality original podcast. It was produced by Kenzo Chua, written and edited by Alexis Colvin, and by me, Amy Querrier.